Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii and Boston, Massachusetts. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. What happened following an encounter with America's abortion king? In a rare interview in 2009, Terry Beatley accepted the pro-life mantle of Dr. Bernard Nathanson, formerly referred to as America's abortion king and co-founder of NARAL, the oldest pro-abortion organization in America. That meeting changed Terry's life with promise to impact your life today and save the lives of the unborn. We'll remind you at the beginning of our program, the reason we have the Good Life Radio Show is to bring you closer and closer to Jesus Christ. You say, Danny, okay, you are always preaching the gospel. How does this topic, this segment relate with that? Well, Terry will share her story of her relationship with Christ, and it is in the divine appointments of God where we find the purpose of the Lord for our life calling. And in so doing, lives are changed by the power of Christ in us, the working of God's Spirit. You know, Jesus loves you so much, my friend. He died on the cross for your sins. He shed his precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And today, no matter what you've done, where you've been, how bad it has gotten in your life, there is always hope in Jesus, the resurrected Lord. Would you open your heart to Christ, my friend? Receive him as your Savior and Lord. That's our prayer. That's our hope. Terry Beatley founded Hosea Initiative. She's the author of What If We've Been Wrong? She's a graduate of Chuck Colson's Fellows Program and former Virginia coordinator for parentalrights.org. She's a graduate of Virginia Tech. She and her husband, Kenny, are members of St. Francis de Sales Church in Matthews, Virginia. Terry, welcome to our show.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be on. Thank you.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up, well, two different places, in Fairfax County, Virginia, which is not too far from Washington, D.C. And then at 12, we moved to the country out on the Chesapeake Bay, still in Virginia. So I'm a Virginia girl.
Mm. Who influenced you most in your growing up years?
I would say my mother has influenced me most. My mother loved the Lord, and she gave me this eternal, I would call it like an eternal optimism, that if you stick with something long enough, you're going to succeed. And she just inspired me. She was just a woman who was steadfast in determination, and she loved the Lord. And I would say it was my mother.
How did you become a Christian?
It's funny because a lot of people, have real clear moments of when they became a Christian. And I would say for mine, it was like this slow progression until something happened in my life, which I'm going to share. But I grew up believing, but I can't say I had that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I was a believer, but yet there was that disconnect about a personal relationship. That personal relationship, though, was solidified when I was about 33. I'm 54 now. And long story short, I was heading down to Florida to take care of a really sick aunt. And when I got down there, she had been placed in a nursing home and spent the night. And the next morning, I went in to check on her, and the nurse told me, well, your aunt is dying. And I said, well, what happened between the day before and then today? And she said, well, really, your aunt, you know, she needed to see family, and now she's letting go. And I walked in there, and clearly my aunt was at a different stage. And when I left Florida, she was still alive. In retrospect, I don't know why I didn't stay there, but the airline ticket was booked to go back the next day because I had a little child at home and I needed to get back. And in retrospect, I should have stayed, but I think I was a little bit shocked over what I was experiencing. But needless to say, I was on the plane flying back to Virginia, and I remember at a certain time calling out to the Lord in prayer, just a real fervent prayer, begging God to take my Aunt Elizabeth to him, to you know, stop the misery and to call her home. And I remember looking at my watch. It was at 12:40. And it was just a real cathartic moment. I knew the Lord had heard my prayer, and I felt very relaxed afterwards. Before, I was super stressing. And then I arrived back in Hampton, Virginia, get my luggage and all that, get to the car. So by this point, it's like 3 hours had gone by, and I immediately called down to the nurse who had been by her side, and she said my aunt had passed. And I said, well, what time did she pass? She said, well, it was a couple hours ago. And I said, I need to know the time. And sure enough, it was right to the minute. It was 12:40. And I knew right then, it was a landmark in my life, that I knew that God hears our prayers. He's alive. Christ is alive. And he wants us, you know, communing with him. So I would say that is when I actually became a Christian, because that changed my life as well.
What difference, Terry, what difference has your relationship with Christ made in your life?
The difference Christ has made, he's made me a much more tempered person. I used to be a hothead, and I would say I'm much more tempered today. But even more important than the temper thing, it would be full of hope. You know, there's so much more. It's just realizing and believing and knowing that there's so much more than the physical world we live in. It's that deep-seated, rooted belief that you know, there is life beyond what we know here, that there is eternity with the Lord. And it's having that confidence that no matter what happens, it's all going to be okay. And so Christ, you know, in Christ is the victory, and so that would be probably the most important thing. It's not getting so wrapped up in the moment of fear. Literally, it's ever since that happened to me on the airplane. It's just knowing that he's here. It's true. It's not wishful thinking. Christ is alive.
Who was Dr. Bernard Nathanson?
Dr. Bernard Nathanson, we had a couple nicknames. He's known as, he was once known as America's abortion king. He's the father of the modern-day abortion industry. He's the one who is responsible for paving the way for the Roe v. Wade Supreme Court decision. He was the co-founder of NARAL, Pro-Choice America. That's what it's called today, NARAL, the National Association for the Repeal of Abortion Law. Which he founded with a couple other people back in the late 60s. And he's a man who was saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He repented for his crimes against humanity just 2 years after the Roe v. Wade decision. He became pro-life after the Roe v. Wade decision just within a couple years. And he came to Christ in 1996, and he dedicated the remainder of his life, and he lived until February 2011. So Dr. Nathanson, I like to say, you can't study the Revolutionary War without understanding who was George Washington. You can't understand how America morphed into a country. You know, it's rooted on life, liberty, and all those good things, all those fundamental rights that come from God, not government. How a country that recognizes our rights come from God, how did we get so misled, so duped to unlock his story, to unlock his legacy, is to unlock this demonic, I call it the demonic stranglehold that's holding our country in captivity. Because I think everybody knows, even subliminally, that America is in trouble, okay? And I believe the Lord is waiting for America to get our laws aligned with his law. And Deuteronomy 28 says it, you know, the blessings of obedience and then the curses of disobedience. And he tells us in the Word of God, the Lord lets us know what's going to happen to nations who consistently act disobediently to the Word of God. And that's the position we've been in since 1973 with Roe v. Wade. There is no such thing as legal homicide. And Dr. Nathanson is the keeper of the abortion industry keys. To unlock his story unlocks the truth of what happened. And it leads people to Jesus Christ, the biggest benefit of all.
Well, we must then talk about why America should learn about his legacy as you spoke. When we come back from our break, Terry, let's talk more about this. I want to know what changed him. What changed Dr. Nathanson? I mean, I watched him in the movie The Silent Scream, and his presentation, very deliberate, forthright, clear. But you know, how did he conceive of such a scheme that has affected America in the way that it has? Of course, we know that the Lord has changed him, that he came to Christ, but more of the story. We've got Terry Beatley here, and you got to hear their connection. She'll share it when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me. I lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chanan and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Terry Beatley was an investment broker for 14 years and is a retired homeschool mother of two daughters. She's the author of the book, What If We've Been Wrong? Keeping My Promise to America's Abortion King. You can find out more about this book. You can get this book at abortionking.com. Again, abortionking.com. Perhaps you caught the tail end of the last segment. As you're tuning in right now, you can get this program in its entirety at thegoodlifehawaii.com. I'd encourage you to share it with a family member or friend. Terry, what changed Dr. Bernard Nathanson's mind about abortion?
Yeah. You know, he was 100% unequivocally, you know, for legalized abortion, and he fought for that. They first focused on, you know, overturning the pro-life law in the state of New York, and then once they flipped that, about 250 women descended upon New York City over the next 12 months for a legalized abortion because, you know, they all were told that it's just tissue. It's not a baby, it's just tissue. And that was the lie that Dr. Nathanson peddled among seven other points of propaganda. But to more specifically answer your question, what changed his mind? So after he had personally, after he was personally responsible for the death of 75,000 babies in 5,000 by his own hands, and then he taught doctors how to kill on another 10,000 children, and then he managed an abortion facility for the death of another 60,000 babies. Dr. Nathanson saw the baby on real-time ultrasound for the very first time it was early 1973, just a couple months after the Roe v. Wade decision, and he immediately recognized the humanity of the unborn child because he could now see the baby. Before, he was only seeing the still pictures, the photographs. Now he could see the heartbeat. He could see the little baby smile, wiggle her toes, all those amazing things babies in the womb do. And Dr. Nathanson immediately recognized the humanity of the unborn child. And he knew there was an ethical issue now at their, you know, at his fingertips that he had to do something about. And so for the next 2 years, he tried to talk with the NARAL board of directors, and they refused. They refused to recognize the truth of what science was revealing to him, and he was still an atheist at that time. He did, his quote is, he had not a seedling of faith, zero, nothing. He was an atheist, but the science changed his mind.
You talk about, you mentioned one of, there's more points, 7 points. Give us some of those points that you mentioned, propaganda. What was the design? And he sounds he was the mastermind of what was put together.
He was, because I think it's important for your listeners to know is that, you know, America was founded on Judeo-Christian biblical worldview. In fact, our Declaration of Independence states the value system for which we must operate as a nation. And it's not an atheist worldview. It's not a Sharia, Islam, Muslim worldview. It's a Judeo-biblical, you know, worldview. But be that as it may, what Dr. Nathanson knew was that if they came out of the gate promoting killing babies in the womb, well, of course, every American would turn against that. So they had to frame the argument just simply around choice, that every woman has the right to choose. Of course, they would never say, choose what? It was just, every woman has the right to choose. That was literally one of their many slogans. So they framed the debate. The second thing is they then work this by coming up with these cynical slogans, like the one I just referenced. Another common one was, you know, my body, my choice. And so all the argument, all the slogans were always around choice and you know, freedom. The third thing they do is they work the complicit media. Dr. Nathanson was an OBGYN, and so he could tell the media anything near about he wanted to tell them, and they they, meaning the media, who back then were mostly young liberal females, and they were who were covering this issue, and they were tired of opposing the Vietnam War, and it felt really good for them to support something. So they really used the complicit media. Now, what would he tell them? He would tell them a battery of lies. He would quote false statistics and false polling. The false statistics were things like this. He would tell the media that 1 million women a year, this was back in 1969, 1970, are having back alley abortions, and 5,000 to 10,000 women a year are dying of illegal abortion. And he would say, you know, we just need to make this legal so that, you know, they're not felons, you know. And so he would justify or rationalize. That's another one of the points. The false polling he would, oh, by the way, the real fact of 1 million women were not having illegal abortion at the high side, maybe it was around 100,000, and there were not 10,000 women dying a year of illegal abortion. On the high side, maybe 200. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about very bold, aggressive lies. The other thing was he would use false polling, and he wrote about this as well. He told me in the interview, but then he also wrote about it. He would say that 60% of Americans want abortion on demand legalized. The real number was 0.5%. Okay, it's shocking that he was so bold with these lies and nobody called him out on it.
How did he come up with that number?
Well, they had hired, that's a really good question, Danny. They had hired a public relations firm, I think at the tune of about $7,500, and the PR firm worked with them on this complete 8-point strategy. Hmm. And the PR firm told them, if you're going to be pushing a whole movement, you have to be able to quote statistics higher than 50%. And the reason for it is because just mentally, like, nobody wants to be like in a minority, you know, they mm-hmm. want to be able to fit in with the crowd. So it was a very psychological thing. And then lastly, they would, I already mentioned how they would rationalize, look, the women are going to do it anyway, just make it legal. Well, it actually became the self-fulfilling lie. They were quoting 1 million before it was like 100,000 illegal. Then once they made it legalized, of course, it became a self-fulfilling lie. And within a couple of years, you know, people were aborting 1 million babies a year, and they still are today. And then lastly, he executed what was called the Catholic strategy, which was a 4-part strategy to separate the Catholic voter. Just keep in mind, they were focused at first just in the state of New York, and then they went into many, many different states. But they had this, what does New York have? Lots of Catholic voters, and they had to separate the Catholic voters' religious doctrine from their legislative judgment. So, and he wrote about it. He told me about it. He called it the most brilliant political strategy of all time. And it's holding our country captive, this propaganda campaign.
What got you involved in pro-life issues?
Yeah, I got involved, you know, I spent the first half of my life rather ambivalent, I would say, about this issue. I knew I would never have an abortion, but I certainly didn't think it had anything to do with me, and I had never processed how much it actually affects our culture. And then I came to the realization that through research, and then by going to the March for Life in Washington, D.C., probably 10 years ago, 9 years ago now, that this issue, abortion, affects everybody. We probably don't have enough time to get into all that, but it's not a personal decision. It's a decision that's been based on 40 years of lies. And what got me, in addition to realizing the history of, or researching the history of Margaret Sanger, Planned Parenthood, and how she had sold this country on birth control, and then her whole worldview of called Malthusian philosophy, which was population control. So she spewed this onto America in the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. In fact, her dream was that birth control pill. And so you asked what converted me is I went to the March for Life and just felt super convicted that there were probably like 400,000 people there just so motivated, you know, for the Lord. And, you know, it's vast majority is a Christian gathering. I mean, I'm sure not all Christians, but the vast majority are believers. And just standing up for God's gift of life. And I realized how little I knew about it, and that's when I began my research. And then ultimately, I began sharing the truth with African Americans at a local church, and they had no idea of Margaret Sanger, who founded Planned Parenthood, her very, very racist history. You know, even back in 1939, she executed what was called the Negro Project, and that was specifically to reduce the black population. And I found it just so unjust that this has been whitewashed over. You know, very few people talk about it. And so I called a black minister to ask if I could come meet with him, and he agreed. We met for 3 hours, and I showed him the movie called Maafa 21. You can actually watch it on YouTube. It's M-A-A-F-A, Maafa. It's a Swahili word that means great tragedy. And so we watched this together, and it's all about the racist history of Planned Parenthood. And then what he told me afterwards, he encouraged me to keep going, never stop. He said, he just so encouraged me. And then I came back to his church. We put on a big presentation at his church. People so got it that if we support people or anything that advances the abortion industry, we're not only advancing, you know, black genocide, we're advancing violence, we're advancing the destruction of God's family. You know, we're all family from here to Hawaii and around the world. We're God's family. And so so that's how I got involved. And then that prayer vigil happened, which is what led me to Dr. Nathanson.
Terry Beatty, you as you listen to Terry, you see, wow, how clear, how with such eloquence she's able to convey all these facts and figures. Well, there was a growing process that prepared her for what she's doing today. A mantle has been passed. And when we come back from our break, we'll find out more about it. You see, a lot of it hinged on an interview that took place in 2009. You wonder sometimes, don't you? I do. How significant is a moment, an encounter with someone, an encounter that can be used by God to redirect the course of your life, galvanize your purpose? An encounter with Christ, she's experienced that. Have you? Here's another encounter that changed her life and many others. Stay with us. We'll be back with Terry Beatty.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waiahua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waiahua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Well, you can find the book at abortionking.com. That's abortionking.com. Dr. Jerry Johnson, president and CEO of the National Religious Broadcasters, says, what was the strategy of the abortion industry early on? How can knowing that strategy provide the key to changing abortion law and abortion culture? Terry Beatley has written a powerful book which answers those questions. Get What If We've Been Wrong? Read it, Dr. Johnson says, and tell others about it. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here with Suzanne Maurer, our guest, Terry Beatley. Terry, how were you granted an interview with Dr. Bernard Nathanson?
Wow, I call it by the hand of God. It was providential. After I'd had those amazing experiences in the local church, you know, with the African-American minister and his congregation who so appreciated what I had been, you know, teaching, I just started going into a real prayerful mode because I really didn't know where to take it from there. So that had happened in June. Well, November 2009, so whatever that would be, 5-6 months later, I was at a prayer vigil at my church, and I had signed up for the first hour to pray, and I was in this little room with the candles lit, and I was fervently asking the Lord what he wanted me to do with this head full of information from all the years of research, and then these amazing experiences that I was having as I go out, as I had gone out and, you know, educated in the Christian community. I didn't know. I didn't know where to go. And all I can say, it was not audible, but it was, you know, it was audible. Like, I put that in quote marks. The Lord or the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and the instruction was simply, and came very quickly, and it was go and interview Dr. Bernard Nathanson, the doctor who trained Planned Parenthood. And I sat there in this prayer vigil, and I thought, Lord, you know, why would this doctor say yes to me? Because I knew who he was, and I had read one out of three of his books. But the instruction came so clearly, and then I actually had a vision for a pro-life TV show that I jumped up, grabbed pencil and paper, and wrote down this the information. It was like it came to me in a 3x4 matrix, the 12 pockets of information that would be gone over in a real fast-paced pro-life TV show. And so I like to say I had a one-way monologue with the Lord telling God that he had the wrong woman for that job because Dr. Nathanson would not say yes to me. But I knew I had lost the argument, and I got his telephone number a few days later, called to his condo up in New York City, and his wife answered. And she cautioned me. She told me that her husband was now 83 years old. He was terminally ill with cancer. He had not granted an interview with anybody in over a year, and she really cautioned me, and yeah, I didn't think that Dr. Nathanson would say yes. So then she told me to fax my request up to her and that she would present it to her husband, and that's what I did. I wrote a real short letter, and sure enough, faxed it up there, and she called me back a couple days later, and Dr. Nathanson had said yes. So a few weeks later, I was on the plane flying to New York to interview the man who, in my humble opinion, changed America. I think it could be argued more than anybody, because anybody who skids the train, the track for the Roe v. Wade decision, you know, who's responsible for unleashing a new industry, the industry of killing American babies.
Yes.
And he's the doctor who trained. And I saw a quote that I wanted to read you. I have just a few more seconds here. Dr. Nathanson, in one of his books, this is what he had to say about how wrong the abortion victory is. He said, I believe the abortion ethic is fatally and forever flawed by the immorality of the means of its victory, a political victory achieved by an unscrupulous and unprincipled minority. I believe that an America which permits a junta of moral thugs to foist an evil of incalculable dimensions upon it and continues to permit that evil to flower creates for itself a deadly legacy, a millennium of shame. So I've interviewed him for about an hour. He really couldn't take much more than an hour. But at the end of the interview, I reached over and I said, Dr. Nathanson, I know you're too sick to get your message out anymore. I said, if you have a message for America, I promise you that if you tell me what it is, I'll dedicate my life to working on it to get it done until the Roe v. Wade decision is overturned or your message becomes common knowledge. And all I can tell you, Danny, and Suzanne, is that, God told me to go interview him, and the Lord has revealed himself to me so many different times over the past 7 years as this thing is unfolding. And it's just, we probably need a whole nother hour to talk about all the different ways God keeps revealing himself, because he's not letting this go. America is going to learn. And abortion industry is done. It's over. We just have to go appropriate the victory.
Terry, have you had a chance to testify in Washington, D.C. yet?
Not yet, but I've been told my voice is needed in Washington, D.C.
Desperately.
It's a hard place to crack into, but I know God is going to do that. I've been told by a very astute political person up there that I'm needed.
I wonder if you could contact Dr. Ben Carson as a possibility.
I've tried. I've sent him the book, what I've learned over the years is if you're just patient and you don't push but so hard. What I say is I go through every door God opens, and but Dr. Carson's definitely on my wish list to meet with. I think if I could sit down with him, he would so embrace this.
Yes,
I mean, because you can't argue. All I'm doing is resurrecting all the facts that Dr. Nathanson left behind, and plus information he told me during the interview. This is why he called himself the keeper of the abortion industry keys. To unlock his story is to unlock the truth. And so this is why the book is so important, because the way it was written, the Lord led me to Sam Casey and Alan Parker, who wrote the appendix in my book. And I had nearly finished writing the manuscript, but I knew I wanted to include as an appendix the summary of what went wrong with the Roe v. Wade decision. And I knew I needed a good pro-life lawyer, who really understood the lawsuit and all, to be able to write that appendix. So I went to Washington the day before March for Life 2015, and I attended the Americans United for Life presentation, and I got tired of sitting, went to the back of the room, and I felt this spiritual nudge at the end of the meeting to go introduce myself to a man who was like four people down from me. And I could tell he knew a lot of people, but I had no clue what was about to happen. And that man was Sam Casey, who's a very astute pro-life leader. He's been in this battle ever since Roe v. Wade. And he's so passionate about this issue. And he said, well, what do you do? And I told him about the promise I'd made Dr. Nathanson and what I was looking for. And he said, well, Terry, he said, I'll write you that summary. He said, I talk about this stuff all the time. And then he said, in fact, I'll get Alan Parker to co-write it with me. And he said Alan Parker's name as if I knew who Alan was. And I said, well, who's Alan Parker? And he said, Terry, that's Norma McCorvey's. She's the Roe of Roe v. Wade. But he said, he's the attorney for Norma McCorvey when she tried to overturn the Roe v. Wade decision in 2003. And so I was just on a natural high that God had just connected me with two of the most astute attorneys on this issue, including Roe's attorney.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Terry, what was Dr. Nathanson's parting message to you?
Yeah. Oh, thank you for swinging me back to that. So, yes, after I offered that to Dr. Nathanson, I didn't know if he would say, my day is done, you take it from here. But there was this, there was a pause. And keep in mind, this man was a brilliant man. He was a Joycelyn scholar, and nothing comes out of his mouth by mistake. And there was this pause, and then he looked up at me. I was standing by this time. He was, of course, still sitting on the sofa. And it was the only time I saw a little twinkle of hope in his eyes. And he said, yes. He said, continue teaching the strategy of how I deceived America. And then tell America that the co-founder of NARAL says to love one another. Abortion is not love. Stop the killing. The world needs more love. and I'm all about love now. And I reached over and I shook his hand, and that's when that little twinkle, you know, hit his eyes. And I promised him, I shook his hand, I said, Dr. Nathanson, I'm going to get this job done. I said, I'm not going to quit till America knows the truth, because we've got big decisions to make.
Yes.
You know, he warned us. Dr. Nathanson warned us in his resignation letter, which, by the way, that resignation letter, excerpts from it are in my book. America has never seen his resignation letter, only the board of directors to NARAL, but I've got a copy of it. And in that letter, he warns. He says that as long as abortion is legal, we will see increased violence, increased public turmoil, and an increase in the disintegration of the American family. And boy, was he right, because that was a 1975 resignation letter.
Terry, where can listeners order your book?
Yeah, if they go to www.abortionking.com, they can order it there. I also encourage your listeners to go to, we have a nonprofit ministry called Hosea Initiative, and that website is Hosea, like the book in the Bible, H-O-S-E-A, the number 4, and then Y-O-U.org, so HoseaForYou.org. You can check out our videos and everything that's on that website, and we'll come out to Hawaii and educate. I do a lot of public speaking at church venues and conferences, and so get me in as a keynote speaker. Would love to come to Hawaii. And so that way you can also see the nonprofit ministry at Hosea Initiative, and then there's a book link. So if you click on the book on Hosea Initiative, that'll take you right to the abortionking.com website to order the book. Before we wrap up, if it's possible, could I read what comes from Dr. Nathanson's resignation letter?
You can read some of that when we come back. We've got one more segment, Terry.
Okay.
Great. So we'll come back to that. I'd love to hear it. And you're listening to Terry Beatley. Terry has taken the mantle of Dr. Bernard Nathanson. I mean, the backstory of their encounter and who he was, and the impact that he has had in our America today is so strongly significant. And the change of heart that he had, the change of life that he had, and yeah, what she's doing now. When we come back from our break, more from Terry Beatley. Terry Beatley has gone through times when she has seen the presence of God real in her life. The Lord has helped her on this journey that she's a part of now, spearheading, leading. She's learned some lessons about stepping out in faith for God's kingdom. Lessons that we can all gain from. She'll share some of that and more when we come back. Check out abortionking.com.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chenan Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Kalena Ramirez was recognized as the 2015 Forbes Under 30 in law and policy. She was also the 2015 Washington, D.C. Leaders of the Future, recognized by Latino Leaders magazine. Well, Helena Ramirez says, with a powerful inside look at a sinister industry, What If We've Been Wrong, the book by Terry Beatley, is a must-read that the millennial generation should not miss. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here with Suzanne Maurer. Terry Beatley joining us. Terry is the author of that book, What If We've Been Wrong? You can find out more about the book at abortionking.com. Terry, you said you wanted to read something to us from Dr. Nathanson's resignation letter. You go ahead and read that excerpt for
us. Sure. Yeah, a lot of people ask me, where did I come up with the name of the book? Well, that came from Dr. Nathanson's resignation letter to NARAL back on January 22nd, 1975. So the father of the abortion industry in America, who trained Planned Parenthood how to do abortion. Planned Parenthood called Dr. Nathanson, okay? I think that's key for listeners to know. So he not only was responsible for the death of 75,000 babies personally, but he trained Planned Parenthood how to kill, okay? And so his resignation letter came 2 years to the anniversary date of Roe v. Wade, because he had seen the baby on real-time ultrasound, and it's that the science of real-time ultrasound had changed the mind of the father of the industry. So his resignation letter, this is toward the end of it, and he's writing to Lawrence Lader, the chairman of the board of NARAL, and he says, the judgments of the Supreme Court were never meant to be infallible or eternal. And what if we've been wrong? If the court should soon reverse itself on the abortion issue in the light of changing times and or new scientific evidence, what an incalculable injustice will have been perpetrated. What an immeasurable, irretrievable loss will have been suffered. The annual dues of NARAL are $10 and the hubris of certainty. Regretfully, I can no longer meet those dues. Sincerely, Bernard N. Nathanson, M.D. Aren't those words just shocking?
Suzanne, you wanted to ask something. I think it's appropriate now, especially when we talk about the overwhelming weightiness of loss of life. When you talk about 75,000 unborn children and Dr. Nathanson's change. But Suzanne, go ahead. Suzanne? Well, Terry, how did Dr. Nathanson come to Christ?
Yeah, Dr. Nathanson, so he began his pro-life journey beginning in 1970. Well, technically it was 1973 when he saw the baby on real-time ultrasound. So he quit NARAL in 1975. By the end of 1978, he was 100% unequivocally pro-life, you know, with rape and all those other different, you know, categories. He saw no reason why a baby would have to be killed. You know, love the mother and bring the baby into the world, you know, provide maybe life through adoption. And then in 1984, he made that video called Silent Scream. Now, he's still an atheist, okay? But he wanted to know what happens to the baby during an ultrasound, during an abortion. And they did that with, you know, recorded ultrasound. And they realized that the baby tries to move away from the suction tube and opens his or her mouth in a silent scream, which is the silent scream of a child threatened imminently with extinction. And so that's 1984. After the silent scream, he begins spiraling downward into depression. And he, and you talk about the weightiness of this horrible thing he had unleashed. And he couldn't figure out any place where he could get rid of the guilt, the shame, the regrets, the remorse. And he knew he would wake up every night and sweat, like having a nightmare that he was being convicted, like in this courtroom. And he was Jewish by heritage, I guess you would say, but he was an atheist Jew. He went back to a rabbi, and the nothing the rabbi said could give Dr. Nathanson any relief. He tried to self-medicate. He tried all sorts of things. And then in his journey back in 1990, his path crossed with a recent graduate from a seminary in New York who had become a young priest named Father C. John McClowski. And Father McClowski worked very closely with Dr. Nathanson for 5 years, teaching him about Jesus Christ, teaching him about forgiveness and grace and mercy. And they read great books together because both of them were just extreme academians. And so together they explored and these horrible thoughts of suicide. Dr. Nathanson remembers when he no longer thought about suicide anymore. And so in 1996, he received Jesus Christ and became a believer and spent the rest of his life from 1996 to 2011, truly spreading the gospel of life, talking about Jesus Christ and that in Christ is the victory. And he had made a complete mess out of his own life, and he finally had turned it all over at the foot of the cross. And I think it's important for your listeners to know that, you know, if Jesus Christ can clean up Dr. Nathanson and forgive Dr. Nathanson, who had killed so many people, Jesus Christ can help you. You know, Jesus, that in Christ is the victory. And that was really Dr. Nathanson's message far and wide. To just turn your life over to Jesus, and then the Lord did beautiful things in Dr. Nathanson's life for the next, you know, number of years, 96 to 2011. He ended up traveling the world, you know, spreading the gospel of life.
Terry, do you know how it affected his wife?
It was very, very hard, I know, on their relationship, which I really don't get into that a whole lot. Dr. Nathanson was actually married 4 times, and I think for the purpose of for this interview and your listeners, as a college student, he had gotten his girlfriend pregnant, and his father paid like $200 or something like that, and he put his girlfriend in a taxi and sent her on up to the abortionist. He didn't even go himself, and she returned in a puddle of blood in a taxi. And then later on, he got another person pregnant, and by that point, he is a doctor, and he aborted his own child. And because he was an atheist, he took such, it just didn't even cross his mind. He actually expressed his pride in being able to do that abortion so efficiently, and that was on his own child. And so God reached very deeply into Dr. Nathanson's heart. He got to Dr. Nathanson's heart through his mind. And the credit, I think, obviously it's the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit used Father McClowski, because Father McClowski recognized that if he went right to the heart, that Dr. Nathanson's heart was so hard. So he reached him, like, academically through the mind to the heart. They use reason. They use logic. They use, and then he used, of course, the power of love. And before, you know, as a couple years went by, and before he knew it, Dr. Nathanson no longer thought about killing himself. And then he became a believer.
Thank you, Terry.
Terry, this is very heavy. A lot of what has been shared and obviously rightfully so. Someone today carrying a heavy heart, a word of hope to them, what would you say?
My word of hope to them is if they can, that number one, the enemy, Satan, wants to keep people held in bondage. And sometimes it's the bondage of shame, the bondage of guilt. And Christ sets us free. There is nothing that separates you from the love of Jesus Christ, nothing. And if Jesus Christ can save Dr. Bernard Nathanson, I mean, get Dr. Nathanson to a point where he no longer felt like he was going to kill himself, Jesus Christ can save anybody. Nathanson, this is why I want America to read this book, because Jesus Christ also saved Norma McCorvey, who was, you know, she had said she was young, dumb, and stupid. She got used by these pro-abortion activist attorneys. If you read my book, you'll also see how Jesus Christ saved her. She came to Jesus Christ, and her affidavit to the Supreme Court is all in my book. And so one book, and the common theme throughout that book is what happens. What happens when the Christian community rises up and loves other people with truth? Beautiful things happen, and it's all throughout there. You know, racism ends, and I could go through a list of benefits, but I think the main thing for listeners, particularly if your listeners have been involved with an abortion, it could be a woman who chose to have an abortion, could be a man who encouraged a wife or a girlfriend or a daughter to go have an abortion. We all know that's human life that was taken, but Jesus Christ will clean them, will give them a new page. So just repent and receive the love of Jesus Christ.
Words of hope. Yes, real hope in Jesus. The riveting story of Terry Beatley. Get her book, What If We've Been Wrong? Get it at abortionking.com. Dear one, look, there's no better time than right now. Yeah, right now, to share the love of Jesus with someone near you. And like Terry said, look, if you haven't done so, look, this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. Click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special presentation for you there. If you'd like to stand with us with your prayers and your financial support, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. Psalm 139:16. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. It's always a blessing to be with you. Special thank you to Terry Beatley. Again, find out more at abortionking.com. Until next time, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.